Blog Talk Radio.
Are you ready to awaken to the truth of your soul? Welcome to today's episode of the Nadia Khalil Morning Show with your host, Nadia Khalil.
Good morning, everybody, and welcome to today's show. Today is Tuesday. It's Dream Theme Thursday. I love the dreams. I always love you guys' dreams because I feel like we all learn from everybody's dream. It's like our dreams aren't that far away from each other because the way that they're kind of off or crazy or we fly or we do things we just can't even imagine can happen, yet they happen. But the lesson that comes out of them is really what we need. So it's so cool. I got two dreams, one really, really long one and one shorty. And so we're going to do shorty first. But I'm so excited to have them. So thank you, you guys, for bringing them in and sharing, you know, what we sleep with, I guess, in the mornings. So thank you so very much for that. And we are on to the dream. Today, by the way, it is Thursday. Tomorrow, I will not be here. I'm sorry about that. Tomorrow, we have a three-day thing this weekend. So I will not be here, but I want to let you know I'll be here Monday morning, bright and early. So today is June 8th. Tomorrow on June 9th, I will not be here for questions Friday. So I will see you guys on Monday again. So let me get started with the dreams. The first dream I have is from Chris Kip Woods. And I don't know if you guys know Chris's journey, but he had a little bit of a problem with alcohol, but he is now in rehab in Ireland, and he is kind of keeping track of that on Facebook, and I'm so proud of him for going. It's not an easy thing to realize. You know, usually when somebody is addicted, they will do anything for the addiction over and above, you know, their family, their friends, their work, their money, their possessions, their whatever it is that we need in life to kind of make things happen. It's a very hard place to be, a very hard place to see. And once you can see it, you can't, like, take it out of your head. You actually have to do something about it mentally. You can't just let yourself go like that. So he's really making that effort, and I'm really proud of him. It's not an easy thing to do. So he's been on Facebook a little bit more lately since he's been in, and he has a dream. So I put Nadia a hug. I had a dream that I was taken into a jail cell with my hands cuffed and my ankles chained. A woman sat on the bed and gave me a pair of scissors, and I picked the lock on the handcuffs, but then I locked them again so I wouldn't get caught by the warden. I stood looking out from a balcony, and a man beside me said, "What about this project, Chris?" And I fell to the floor and said, "I'm bored. I think it's something to do with my thoughts, my thinking. Love you. Thank you." So, Chris, the fact that you are locked up and you had a choice to unlock yourself, but then you locked yourself back up again is a very good sign for where you are. Because what it's saying is that you made a choice to take care of yourself. Nobody else did. It's like the deepest sign of self-accounting that you know that you need to be there. Nobody else put you there. Think about that, that you need to be there, that nobody else put you there. And so you realize, who are you escaping from? You're not escaping from anybody. You're taking care of yourself. And that's what you did and are doing. So it's very, very cool that you are paying attention to yourself in this way. And that you're giving yourself, so, wow, I just told him about where you're at, but this is such a reflection of you accepting that you're somewhere you want to be. Nobody else put you there. And honestly, to really benefit from any kind of rehab or rehabilitation that you take on, you yourself have to be the one to put yourself there. I know people do interventions and send people there, but those people try to escape or they hang on until they get out because it wasn't their will. It wasn't their will. But in this case, it was your will, and this dream is telling you that. And even though you are bored, you are staying there because you know that this is the only way out of the cycle you were in. And as life goes on, you will fill it up with stuff. You'll always fill it up with stuff. It's a good dream to have for where you're at. It's probably the best sign that you yourself understand from yourself why you are there. It's a very, very good dream. So thank you for sharing that, Chris, and good luck. So here's a dream, and this dream is by Leah. And it said, I had this dream a while back. It's quite long, but if you can incorporate maybe some of it, that would be so cool. I have an idea what it would mean, but wouldn't love on knowing if it's true and learn about it. Well, first of all, there's something about dreams. All dreams are always true. They're always true because you had them. They happened in your head. You can't censor them. You can't change them. You can't manipulate them. You can't tell your dreams what to think. That's the beauty of dreams. It's like your mind gets to be free of any restraints. And the lack of those restraints is what shows you what you want to see in your life. Now, the thing is, sometimes you don't get the dream, so the job that it did wasn't effective. Sometimes you don't remember it, but you remember how you felt during the dream. Like, did you ever wake up and think you would never forget a dream, and then you wake up and you couldn't remember anything? You're like, oh, my God, where did it go? How come I can't remember anything? But it felt so good, and I would never, ever be able to remember this dream that made me feel so good, yet when you were dreaming it, you thought you'd never forget it. Even sometimes scary dreams, but the scary dreams leave a different imprint because there's something that's like a big warning sign of you within yourself. It's letting something out that was inside of you. A lot of times people think scary dreams means something scary is going to happen, but most cases in dreams, it's just something releasing itself out of you. It's not something new coming at you that's going to hurt you or take apart your life. It's something that is releasing from you, but it's just that's its way out. It's really very, very beautiful to think of life in this way and to take care of your life in a way through your dreams. That's not a whole method that you would use. It's just the things that happen once in a while that give you a clue, especially when you need it. Because not all the time do we need it, but you'll need it, and it'll show up, and it will release a lot of what you're carrying inside, which is the whole purpose of our dreams. So here we go, the space worm's dream. My sister snatched the TV from me when I hadn't been fast enough while decluttering my VHSs, and she was now watching one of her own shows. Strangely, it probably was on my VHS tape, which I didn't know, so she would explain it to me. You could tell it was a show from her generation because of how colorful it was, and all the girls had punk style hair, rainbow colors, and mostly long necks. Suddenly the show was real, and while watching like an outsider, we were also sort of in it at the same time, or at least I was. While my sister was not there, she was the one explaining things to me, but at the same time it was the other girls who explained things to me. Maybe she was them and within them. Hashtag it's complicated. There were two of those girls with the colorful hair. One girl did not have it. She had longer, naturally light brown hair. She could see that the other girls colored hair as well, and she asked them why they had such colorful rainbow hair. I kind of thought anyone could dye their hair rainbow colors, but the lead girl explained to me, or to the brown-haired girl, because I wasn't really in the picture, that this wasn't just any color anyone can dye, but the reason they had this rainbow hair and it's glittered too, I think, was because they were in fact descendants of the clan of the space worms, who were basically a species of wizards, you could say, and they could do magic and they can travel in space and UFOs, which just seems silly, and I do not believe in UFOs, but I guess I didn't want to judge. But they tried to hide. These two had come to Earth to live here for a while, but they never let humans know that they were there and not human, which was weird because I was standing right there when I was with me too. And I found slightly unfair because it seemed like they betrayed people, and also because I felt that the magic should be for everyone. But what could I do? So she said there was magic in the air, energy going around that flowed through the whole universe, and that energy was magical. It sounds sort of like the love we talk about. And they could access it, and it flowed through their veins, but not everyone can see it or knows of it, only them. And they choose to protect their identity and travel space rather than staying on one planet. But the rainbow-colored hair is not dye. It is the way the magic flows through them, manifests itself in a physical form due to having to adapt a human body while on Earth. It turned that their hair glitter rainbow colors. So cool. Then asked, but she can see you. So if it means that humans can recognize you, meaning the girl with the brown hair who asked about the rainbow colors. But the lead space worm girl said, she is also one of us. And it means that the way you could recognize if anyone belonged to them was through whether they knew what color their hair really was or not. If they saw the rainbows, it meant that they were one of them and knew the magic of the universe too. It was a revelation to me that she was one of them. They also had told me that they never bred with humans, though in relation to never risking giving their identity away, but probably also remained as purely magical as possible, sort of like Harry Potter, whereas in my own stories, anyone can become a wizard. It's a profession, not a species, and I like that way more. Hashtag no limits. So I asked the lead girl how come the brown-haired human could see it if she were born human, because I was skeptical of the whole thing. So the leader told me, yes, she is also one of us, and sometimes we do come here in small groups as scouts, and we recognize those who know who we are by whether we can see the rainbow colors, and then snatch them up, and we take them away to space to hone their skills in assessing the magic we teach them space traveling. As the sad part was to me that they could never return, even if they didn't want to go, they had to go as they were just taken. But to the space worms, it was like those humans, even if born human, had only come to Earth to be discovered as something more magical, and their fate was a day of discovery to be with them henceforth. It wasn't me, but I didn't like it that she wouldn't have a choice. She had to be taken into space and never see her family ever, otherwise their identity could not remain protected. The lead girl said that at the beginning of the Discover Newbies would be a bit of sad for a while, that they get used to it, and then they could get used to anything, even leaving family behind. Because you were doing it for the greater good, so to speak, for the magic that was in the universe. So as the brown-haired girl didn't seem to have a problem with it, I dropped the subject because it wasn't about me, but I still wasn't entirely comfortable with the idea. I was also skeptical of the UFO method of transportation. So it rarely did happen that a human born was also magical and part of the space worms. Worms wasn't really the right word, but the first that popped into my head was still half asleep. But I thought it didn't sound magical, but it's the best that I got while waking up. And I tried to find a better one, like caterpillars, but it was like there was no human earth word for these magical travelers. So I thought, first word, best word, and decided to go back to worms. As it was when waking up that I realized that I had been there on looking all along, and I got everything they told me, and I seen the rainbow here from the beginning. Then it struck me that I was also one of them. Not only the girl was magical, but I also knew the magic. Otherwise, I couldn't have seen that. So this dream is like validation over validation over validation. Just doesn't stop with all these validations for you to just recognize that you feel like you have a foot in a fantasy world as well as the real world, that your fantasies are based on things you've read or heard or know on Earth, but you have this part of you that wants to take things to extreme, so you're taking the truth, the things you're learning about, you know, what people say about UFOs, what people say about being here, what people say about whatever it is you've accumulated, the knowledge that you've accumulated in your mind, and you gave it a magical spin, because you also feel like what you're learning is magical. So it came to you like in a color stereo. And the validation is that you find out you're one of them. But really, in truth, in life, you find out that you're really a person and you're really one of the people you're with, or you would not have stayed here, that you're still here. So you are a person, this person that needs this stuff, this life, and this knowledge, that you're growing with everyone as well, that you're including other people. It doesn't have to be, you know, a dream is so dramatic all the time. It doesn't have to be the dream where, you know, you're going to another place and you have magical here, because you can have magical here, and you can have all of these things here, but you like no limits. So it's telling you that in your own life, there are no limits. There are no limits. All these validations keep going back to everything can break the glass ceiling, break the glass ceiling. You can do this, and people can do that, and this can happen, and that can happen, and there's other worlds. But I don't care how many other worlds there are around Earth, you're on Earth right now. We can't get too caught up, and that this dream, the fun of the dream, the color of the dream, is letting you know, don't take that stuff so seriously that you're not here and now on Earth. We all made a decision to be here, and we are all here. There's something about spirituality that when I first dug into when I saw Christ and dug into these worlds that people belong to, metaphysical, spiritual, whatever it is that lives out there. And I was trying to find a place to belong, because to me, all of this stuff was very fantasy-like. I didn't understand why we had to use certain things to feel, because I understood that feeling came from inside. It wasn't brought to us from the outside. So if I brought a certain kind of rock or a certain kind of scent or a certain kind of ritual that I did, would it make me feel more? And then I realized, yes, if I believed it, and no, if I didn't. There's somebody who had a big crystal rock that said to me, this crystal rock is $5,000. It has good energy. It's from I can't remember from where it was, and I need to sell it because I'm moving and it's too big to move with me. And I said, well, it wasn't big enough when you brought it in. Why don't you want it anymore? And the person said, wow, that came fast out of you. And I said, well, it's pretty apparent you don't want it. So what did you find out from this rock that you paid so much money for to put in the middle of your living room? Because nature will always have good energy, and sometimes we get convinced through others that certain things bring us certain energies, but we forget we are that energy. We are the dreams that we have. This is a fantasy dream of wishing that life were bigger, better, grander, but accepting the things that Leah's learning in life. She's growing, she's figuring things out. But she found out that she's one of them, which means she's one of us. Her dream took them in a spaceship and took them away. So part of her doesn't want to accept that she's one of the people she stayed behind with, or she would not have stayed behind. Does it mean that leaving was better? No, not at all. It just meant that this is where she's meant to be now. Whether you are an alien, I hear so many times from people that they believe they're aliens, and aliens to how they feel, sometimes aliens to their environment. But nobody here is an alien, or you would not be here. There are many people who tell us there's many aliens among us, living around us. That's possibly true as well. There's angels that come down all the time, and they're gone all the time. And there's ways that that happens all the time. So it's whatever you want to call it. Earth is not only for humans. It belongs to animals. It belongs to nature. It belongs to trees. It belongs to so many things. But the human element is so myopic that it only cares about itself and its survival, but so do the animals. The animals only care about themselves and their survival. We all have to eat and we all have to sleep. I see Liam writes in the chat, or we are all aliens because we all come here. Then we are all aliens, whatever we want to call ourselves, humans, aliens, whatever you want to say. It's yeah, we're all like here and we're here for a reason. And I know we all want to explore, and I love all the stories. I love the UFOs. I love hearing about all this stuff because it's just showing us how vast that this earth isn't only for us. There's a lot of stuff going on. The climate, the weather's doing its job. Nature's doing its job. Every single animal and bug is doing its job. Although, you guys, I think I told you guys this, maybe in one of the earlier shows, there's no bugs in heaven. I was on a treadmill. I want to say, my God, maybe the first year after I saw Christ, my mom was visiting, my kids are running around, and I get on this treadmill at night, and I run. So I'm on there and I'm running and Christ is talking. And at that time, it was still really new and his talking was much more formal than how I hear it now. And I remember him saying, there's no bugs in heaven. And I'm like, thank God, there's no mosquitoes. There's no bugs in heaven. We don't need bugs. Animals don't need bugs. There's no bugs in heaven. And I go, oh, wow. So every time I see an ant or, you know, something like that running around, a little bug or something flying around ready to sting itself on me or whatever it's going to do, I think, oh, wow, this is it. This is your only gig. You're just here just to kind of mindlessly go around, but you're part of the chain, part of the food chain. So it's really interesting how Earth isn't just for us. Think about that one for a day. There's a lot going on here, different systems, but we're so busy doing customer service in companies and working for things that we really could live without and doing things that we're not really crazy about, but we brought that upon ourselves. We brought that upon ourselves, and now we're stuck in the matrix because it's really hard to get out. And so some of us get out, and some of us are teaching the others. It's amazing that what we think is so small to where we are. And so our dreams are like this conduit. They're not fantasy completely, but they have to be fantasy to some level because we fly in them and, you know, we show up in places that we don't even know how we got there and we wake up and we're amazed at how off it felt and how weird it felt. And we love it because it takes us out of our entire world actually live in and allows us to see how much is really possible. But right now, that's just going to teach us a lesson as opposed to be our life. So here we have Liam says in the chat, what about the Beatles? I love to hear a John Lennon and George Harrison duet. They aren't in heaven? Well, that's too funny because I just said there's no bugs in heaven. I don't even know if, you know, the Beatles are considered bugs. I guess so. You know, I never really thought to define a bug, but yeah, that'd be really cool. But there's so many things that our dreams release in us. We have such, I want to say, a release valve. And every time I remember a dream, I feel so happy that I remembered it. Because all day long, you're thinking about it. And then you remember another part of it and another part of it. And it starts to make more sense. And these are literally windows. Windows to, like, these crazy possibilities that you still have here. We just see so little of Earth. We live in houses. We work in boxes and big buildings. We shop, we buy things, we collect things, we cook, we eat, we sit, and we really don't veer out. And there's so much to do, so much to see, so much to learn. That's why people love traveling, because it takes them out of where they're at and puts them in a new environment, so that in that environment, all they have is time to explore. I look at dreams as us traveling. Traveling to, like, totally the unknown. There's no way to know the stuff you dream about. How many of you had dreams where you had an issue going on in your life, and in your dream, in such detail, you solved it? And then you wake up and you feel like you already solved it, and then you realize in real life it wasn't solved yet, but that you can solve it. And then you start working on it. You start solving it. It's so cool. One of the most intricate ways our brains works is when we are asleep, because then we're not interfering with our brain. That interference, you know, our mind, oh, no, we can't do that. Oh, no, I can't do that. Oh, wait, I don't have time. Before you even get to what your brain is trying to share with you, what your soul is trying to tell you, you've already shot it down because you just didn't have time to shoot it up and to bring it into life. So then it just hangs on and it waits over in the sides and it's, ta-da, I'll get you in a dream. Because part of loving yourself and learning how to love yourself is through the reliance that you get by the inner workings of your mind and soul. When we pay attention to our soul, when we just pay attention to it, we don't even have to know what self-love is. You start to feel this empowering feeling of your depth. And when you feel that depth starts telling you, hey, up there, you have a quality of life. I can help you with that quality. Because when you hear me, your decisions are better. They're stronger. I start working with you in every way, whether it's through your dreams or through what's going on in your life, through what you pay attention to. And you start to see that coming out. You start realizing you have instinct. You start realizing that you have possibilities. You start realizing that you have capability to work on your possibilities. Working within our soul is one of the grandest gifts we can give our lives while we are alive. When we ignore our feelings, when we ignore what we're thinking, when we start thinking that if we do something that, you know, maybe is out of the box, it might be too much. So what we realize is that it's not too much. It was just too much for us to think about. Once we do it, we're like, why didn't I do this sooner? Sometimes we need a dream to push us into that place. That feeling of, wow, anything is possible, which is really the bottom line of every dream. It turned around how I feel about nightmares. It turned around how I feel about bad dreams. It even turned around how I feel about snakes, because it turned out when we dream about snakes, we are birthing, because snakes are constantly changing their skin. Because we have such a negative connotation, oh, they're just like a snake, but that's a human thing. But in nature, a snake is constantly rebirthing. It's constantly getting new skin, new skin, new skin. It's crazy. So when we have these, and you guys share them, and thank you for sharing, it's one of the most fascinating days of my week. I see Eliana wrote, goats. Thank you, Eliana. Good morning and to everyone in the chat. Eliana, Francis, we have a guest. I have a sneaky feeling that's Maureen and Liam and Nancy. But yeah, the whole thing with the goats. And it sounds like a great story, but the goat thing never left me, because it came to me in, like, not just in my dream and other people's dreams, in real life, and it just kept showing up. It would not go in a coffee cup. It just would not go away. So take these signs as escape routes outside of what you think, outside of what you're doing, and let yourself dream, whether you're a daydream or a night dream. I love you guys. I'll see you on Monday, you guys. Have a great weekend. Bye-bye.
You have been listening to today's Daily Dose of the Nadia Khalil Morning Show. To learn more, visit www.